98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Everything you need to know all in one spot every day. We call it the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show. We hit the reset button on the show, give you our reactions to the top stories of the day, including Draymond Green suspended one game by the Golden State Warriors. He missed last night's game against Atlanta because he went after Kevin Durant, called Kevin Durant a bunch of names. Apparently at the root of it all, Gambo, and this is from Adrian Wojnarowski, Durant's looming free agency that hovers over everything.
They're coming to a point where their bench is going to get thinned out by payroll, and they'll be built around just a few great players if Durant stays. But it hovers over everything that goes on in Golden State. And to say that Durant's free agency did not play any factor in the last 24 hours, it plays a factor in everything there.
Listen, they would rather, they even if they could trade him and get something for him, they're not going to trade him. They don't want to help another team compete against them. Like, they don't want to go play Kevin Durant in the playoffs.
Sure.
So they'd rather get nothing for him, nothing, and have him on their team and have a chance to win a championship than trade him. But it's bad. And there's a report right now. Apparently, teammates feel Green's harsh comments regarding how Durant has handled free agency weren't off base. According to Marcus Thompson, things have spiraled in the locker room to the point where some members of the Warriors don't even want to bother trying to recruit Durant for another season. One player said, with what was said, there is already no way Durant is coming back. The only hope is that they could say this summer, see, we got your back. We protected you from Draymond. But the feeling is that there are guys on that team that are not going to want Kevin Durant back.
Wow, that's strong stuff right there. The Arizona Cardinals are back on the practice field, but Buda Baker was not. Steve Wilks said today he thinks Buda's going to be fine when it's all said and done.
You know, I think Buda will be fine. You know, we don't know exactly how long it's going to be. A guy like that, you're going to miss him being out there on the field if he doesn't play, because he just brings so much in every category, just energy, you know, being able to cover, being able to blitz, etc.
Now, while he did say he thought that Buda would be fine for Sunday's game against the Raiders, the Cardinals did add two defensive backs today, both cornerbacks, signing former second-round pick David Amerson and cornerback Leonard Johnson to join the 53-man roster.
Yeah, Amerson, I mean, they're probably more excited about Amerson from what I've heard. Amerson, he's had over 50 starts in his career. He's 26 years old. He's worth a shot. They're having a real hard time with Taylor and Ben Wickery trying to understand this new zone coverage. Those guys are struggling, so they'll bring Amerson in. He might get a look. You know, as far as Leonard's concerned, I think it's just a body. We'll see. Maybe special teams guy. But at least with Amerson, they're taking a shot at a guy who's got 50-something starts, and maybe he could pick up this zone coverage system of Steve Wilks a little bit better than some of the other guys.
The Steelers raided, for a joke, Le'Veon Bell's locker after he decided not to show up for the rest of the season, forfeiting this season. Linebacker Bud Dupree took two pairs of Jordan cleats and thanked Bell. Quote, appreciate the cleats, my guy. I wish you success, my guy.
Man.
Close quote. Big Ben said yesterday he texted Le'Veon Bell to say, hey, either way, wish you nothing but the best, and he never heard back from him.
Appreciate the cleats, my guy.
Appreciate the cleats, my guy. I wish you success, my guy.
Oh, man, that is rough.
They had left his locker alone during the holdout, but apparently
he could come back. Yeah.
Now that he can't come back, his teammates just start going through it and taking his stuff.
Wow. Wow. I mean, listen, I think for them, at least these guys want to, they'll be happy that they're done answering the question. You know, Cam Hayward and Ramon Foster, all these guys, they're talking about how they're like, now that it's over, we can stop answering these stupid questions
sure.
that they've had to answer. I mean, the guy forfeited, you know, $14.5 million, and he's going to go out there next year as a free agent and try to see if he can recoup some of that money and go play somewhere else. There's a lot of teams that have been linked to him. You were telling me before the show, Buffalo, and there's like five different teams, San Francisco, Buffalo. You mentioned like five teams that might have interest in him.
Monday morning quarterback put out five very early 2019 landing spots for Le'Veon Bell. They listed the Raiders, the Jets, the Bills, the 49ers, and the New England Patriots as possible landing spots for Le'Veon Bell.
And you think you would get that stuff out of your locker, right? You send somebody in there and get it for you. Hey, you got no one guy on a team. Hey, do me a favor. Got a couple of good cleats in there. Sneak those out for me.
Maybe nobody on the team likes him enough to do
and
that.
And it's not one guy that could have gotten your stuff out of your locker before everybody raided it?
But our top story of the day today, the Phoenix Suns taking on the San Antonio Spurs. We are here at the Casino Arizona Pavilion, Talking Stick Resort Arena, where tonight DeAndre Ayton gets to go up again against a guy who, let's call it like it is, kind of shamed him the first time he met. LaMarcus Aldridge ate DeAndre Ayton's lunch in that first matchup. And Ayton afterwards talked about all the stuff that he learned playing against Aldridge. Tonight, we'll find out how he applies any of what he learned and whether he got better because of what LaMarcus Aldridge did to him.
He took his lunch, he ate it, and he said, I'm going to come back and take your lunch the next time. Now DeAndre Ayton's got to see what he's going to do.
Yep.
Because this guy's coming for your lunch again. I mean, he did. I mean, this is a veteran player. He knows how to step out and knock down shots. He knows how to beat him inside. A lot of the moves, you know, LaMarcus could go to his left. He could go to his right. And it was a great learning experience for DeAndre. But, you know, what you need to do is you got to learn from that. You got to say, okay, I'm not going to let you do that to me again. Okay, now I know. Now I've seen you. I mean, all of these experiences are firsts for DeAndre Ayton. He's now going against the best players in the world on a regular basis. And he's got to figure out how to play against them. And it's not going to happen overnight. The kid's only been in the league for 12 games. But hopefully there is some learning from the first matchup against the Spurs till now.
It's very clear that there's been a shift, I think anyway, a shift in the tone from the organization about DeAndre Ayton, and in particular, the head coach about DeAndre Ayton. A week ago, less than a week ago, it was he's got to be more aggressive, he's being too passive, and it was DeAndre Ayton saying, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what you mean by that. Now, today and yesterday, you're hearing kind of a different tone out of Igor Kokoschkov. We all have to be patient with DeAndre, he says.
I think we all have to be more patient when it comes to expectations when DeAndre is he's going to be a hell of a player. He's extremely talented, but he's going through something that, you know, it's just every young player goes through. He's playing against elite big guys, elite centers in this league, and it's not easy. He puts so much on his shoulder that I don't want him to feel pressure.
Is he talking to you? Is he talking to me? Is he talking to the fan base? Hell, is he talking to himself at this point? I mean, Igor's already admitted he's had conversations with himself in the car. He might as well be talking to himself.
Am I going to be talking to myself on the way home tonight?
Probably.
I wonder
how they're playing the Spurs.
The Suns do that to you sometimes.
Yeah, it's almost like James Jones went up to him, put his arm around his rookie head coach, and said, look.
The kid's a rookie.
He's played 13
games.
He's a kid. Let's relax on the public criticism. Now, I think he needs to be more aggressive. James Jones sat right here between us at the arena and told us an hour ago he thinks Ayton needs to be more aggressive. But to publicly call him out for it maybe isn't the best tact for a kid who's 19 years old and has played 13 games so far in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, probably. I mean, a lot of DeAndre Ayton, you have to coach him, okay? He'll get experience playing, but he's a coachable kid. He wants to learn. He wants to be great. He could do some terrific things. I mean, I mentioned to you before, one of the things I think works against him a little bit is that he plays with Booker and with TJ, because TJ's starting now. So you've got two guys that are volume shooters, two guys that get a lot of shots. So, you know, he's going to get his 10 shots a game. But, like, I would like to see him, you know, if they take Booker out or they take TJ out or take both of those guys out, I'd like to see him become a little more of a focal point of the offense and see what he can do. His major problems are defensively. You know, defensively are his major issues. He's got to get better defensively. And that's what you'll see, you know, with the matchup tonight and trying to figure out how to defend LaMarcus Aldridge and how to switch and pick and roll. And, you know, all of those things, block some shots. You know, those are the things you want to see him get better. We know he's going to be able to score points around the basket because that's what he's good at.
I do think, too, he's also a little bit of a victim of his own success. And by that in particular, I mean that Dallas game to open the season. In the first half, in the first quarter of that game, we saw what DeAndre Ayton was capable of.
Yeah.
We saw his ability to literally physically take over a basketball game. And it was impressive. It was awe-inspiring, to be honest with you, on opening
night. And that was against DeAndre Jordan.
And we've waited for that version of DeAndre Ayton to show himself again, and we haven't seen that guy outside of a four-minute stretch here, a three-minute stretch there. It's in there. He's obviously capable of it, but to expect him to do it every single game is probably asking a lot for a 19-year-old.
Listen, the game is coming. That 35-point, 15-rebound game, it's coming. Like, it's coming. He's too talented not to. It hurts that they don't have a point guard. You know, it hurts that the guys that have the ball in their hands so much, Booker and TJ, are shooters and scorers, you know, and that they don't have a point guard that's going to be able to go get seven assists by passing it down low to DeAndre Ayton. Point guard continues to be a major problem. The lack of efficiency at that position is almost mind-boggling. But DeAndre has that game coming, and it will take Booker and TJ to recognize it and defer a little bit for him to have that game where he is just got an unbelievable mismatch and you're going to take advantage of it and he's going to be unstoppable. That game's coming.
But he's got to be ready to take advantage of it.
Yes.
He's got to have the willingness to take advantage of it. He had that mismatch maybe against the Nets and he just wasn't willing to do it.
No, and the first quarter's important too. I mean, you know, you're not going to go get 35 points if you score 2 points in the first quarter. It becomes a lot harder to do.
Tomorrow we're on the road. We're at the AT&T store Desert Sky Mall. You're going to have the chance to win tickets to an upcoming Suns or Coyotes game. Other prizes as well. AT&T, a proud sponsor of Holiday Heroes, benefiting the 100 Club of Arizona. That's coming up in a few weeks. Head to the events page for complete details on that. They each were supposed to be building blocks for the future of the Cardinals. Instead, is it time to move on from both? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cardinals are back on the practice field today, getting ready for the Raiders in what is a
must win.
It's a big game.
You don't want to lose it because the Raiders are so pathetic. Like, it'll actually look bad if they lose. As bad as the Cardinals are, it'll look bad if they lose this game.
I mean, if we come in here Monday and they've lost to the Oakland Raiders, you know as well as I do what the conversation's going
to
be.
Yeah, Wilkes needs to be fired.
Yep.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and so in that regard, if you frame it up that way and the future of this organization, man, if you can't even beat the Raiders at home, that's going to – not that that's a gimme. Now, as bad as the Raiders are, it's not like the Cardinals are world beaters right now. They've got two wins this year, both against the 49ers, and one of them they needed a fourth-quarter rally just to do it. The other, they needed five turnovers just to do it.
You see what the 49ers did to the Raiders this year?
I don't recall what
they clobbered them.
Oh, that's right, they did. I couldn't
clobbered
remember. Them. Oh, that's right. That was that Thursday night game.
Yeah,
Nick Mullins went nuts.
They destroyed the Raiders in that game. Now, they destroyed them.
Now here's the downfall for the Cardinals. The injury report going into this game is a long one. Here's Wilkes, Steve Wilkes, talking about the guys who didn't practice today.
Buddha was out today. Phil Dawson as well. Larry had a vet day. Rudy Ford, Rodney Gunther. Personal day here, DJ Humphreys, as well as Mike Iupati, and then Robert Condici, as well as Chad Williams.
You guys that were mentioned in there, first round picks recently, DJ Humphreys and Robert Condici. You want to start with Condici or you want to start with DJ?
Start with Condici.
Okay, Robert Condici.
Hey, Robert, can't make the club when you're in the tub. Can't make the club when you're in the tub.
Did you come up with that NFL cliche on your own?
I just did.
Impressive.
Not going to make the club when you're sitting in the tub.
It's right up there with availability is more important than ability. Right?
Yeah.
You talk about NFL cliches that coaches love to roll out there. There's another one right there.
I had a good gamboism yesterday. I've come full circle, so I've changed my mind.
That's a gamble. That's not an NFL cliche.
Come full circle on that. And I don't think that, you know, the players have to, you know, he's play in the bowl games.
He's hurt.
This is ridiculous. Just say he's gone. He's gone. Okay, he's not coming back next year. They're not picking up the option. Robert Condici, first round pick. He's done. It's over. Just so you know, he's not coming back. This guy, I mean, he's a waste. He's just a waste.
Yeah.
All that talent. It's a shame. It's a shame. All that talent. Kid wasted it. One day he'll look back on his career and just be like, man, I should have tried harder. But he's just so unreliable. Like, you just can't count on this guy to play. I mean, how many career sacks does he have? One?
I think
in his entire career, I think he got one this year.
Not sure, I'd have to look back at that to be sure.
He got like one career sack, maybe. I mean, it's just a waste.
Kent Summers wrote a big story about him today on AZ Central, and he's obviously been covering the Cardinals for a long time, and he points out a lot of what our eyes tell us when we watch these games. I mean, we saw the defensive effort against Kansas City, right? One in which they held them to a season low in yards and a season low in points. Robert Condici didn't play, so. One, it's not like they need him. Two, he is very unreliable. His motor does not run very hot. And here's the thing. When the Cardinals go about drafting somebody in the first round this year, all right, they need to reevaluate how they evaluate these guys. And I'm not telling them anything they don't know. I'm sure Steve Keim knows this. I'm sure Michael Bidwell knows this. But as Kent points out in his story, remember, Condici is the one that they interviewed like four times. Condici is the one that Michael Bidwell, and Kent points this out, is the one being the former federal prosecutor. He can see through kind of the BS.
Mm-hmm.
They saw through the BS. He signed off on Condici. Yeah, this guy guy's legit. He's real. He's here to work hard. He obviously wasn't. They need to reevaluate how they're judging the person, not the player, because they've missed on a lot of these people the last few years.
I honestly don't fault them for taking a reach at a guy there. You know, not even it was a reach. I mean, that was he was projected at one point to be the number one overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
At one point, the number one overall pick in the draft, and then, like, you know, the window incident and everything, and then he dropped. And it kept dropping and dropping, and then the Cardinals are there, like, okay, you got this unbelievable talent. Like, somebody's going to take a chance, take a flyer right there. Cardinals did. Didn't work out, you know? So maybe that helps them, maybe they reevaluate the way they assess these guys, maybe. I mean, I don't know,
I think has to, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that just...
So you don't have any regrets at all about wasting a first-round pick on Robert Kadeci?
I hate wasting first-round picks, but everybody does. I just think that he was worth the risk at the time. Listen, if we go back to what we all thought when they got him, it was like... You know, nobody was like, oh, this is a terrible pick, an awful pick. I've been there before with plenty of picks I thought that were terrible picks.
I think we knew it was a controversial pick. I think we knew it was one that could blow up in their face given his character concerns. I think we knew that. You know, worth the risk.
But they weren't taking him fifth.
Yeah.
They weren't taking him sixth, seventh,
I don't know.
Eighth.
I think.
Where they took him, all right. If it pans out, man, you just hit the goal. You hit the jackpot.
Okay, well, then there's DJ Humphreys, a guy, another first-rounder, and a guy who Pro Football Focus says is, what, the 31st best tackle so far in the NFL this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, against the rush and against the pass, his numbers are, you know, very, very mediocre overall when you look at him. His numbers... Pro Football Focus has him as the best offensive lineman on the team. He's the 11th rated tackle in run blocking, but just the 59th in pass protection.
Ugh.
His overall grade is 31. So when you look at that, again, that's why they did pick up his option for next year, fifth year option. He'll be back next year. Whether he's here past that right now, I would say the answer is no. He's going to have to kill it next year, because if you're evaluating him just on right now, you're not bringing him back.
Let's give out some Gambo money.
Oh, not for nothing. I love money. Don Money.
Eddie Money.
Norm Cash.
Dave Cash.
Cameron Dollar.
Swin Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Brad Penny. Buck Showalter.
Caller number 9 at 602-260-9870.
We should have a Buck Showalter question in there somehow.
Maybe,
we should.
Maybe we will.
Buck Showalter!
Then the guy can answer like that.
We did have a winner in Steven, our last call, right? Was it Steven? Who was our winner?
Steven.
Yeah, Steven, right?
Yeah. Steven won.
So, caller number 9 at 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. Because we had a winner, Steven won $500. Now, we go back to $250 of Gambo's money. If we don't have a winner now, in the 5 o'clock hour when we do this, it doubles again to $500. So caller number 9 will have the chance to win $250. Either way, we're doing this again in the 5 o'clock hour. If this guy gets it right, it's $250. If he gets it wrong, it's $500 in the 5 o'clock hour.
Cold, hard cash.
Brian, you ready to play Gambo's Super Trivia Cash Contest?
Absolutely.
All right, Gambo's going to read a question. You're going to have 24 seconds to answer it. Your 24 seconds begins the minute he is done reading the question. Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
All right, Brian, your question is, during their 20 years as a franchise, the Arizona Diamondbacks have won 100-win season. What year was that? You're on the clock, Brian.
24 seconds is ticking. One 100-win season.
It's like a basketball possession right now.
What year was that?
Don't turn the ball over.
I remember it. Take the time. You'll hear the buzzer. We'll need the answer after the buzzer.
You're allowed to say shoot.
Yeah. All right, we need an answer.
Give me the answer.
I'm going to say 2002.
The answer was 1999.
I think most people were going to guess 2001, the year they won the World Series.
Yeah, 1999. Brian, 1999. We need you to stay on the line.
You get the
Burns and Gambo board game. You get a copy of the Burns and Gambo Home Edition.
Yeah,
which you can play along to Burns and Gambo at home while you listen to the show every day from 2 until 6.
Yeah, you land on Contour TV. Please collect $100 from Cox. You land on the Schwartz Laser Eye Center. You get a free eye exam.
Exactly. You
land on OnTrack.
You land on OnTrack.
Get a free ride.
You get a free ride in one of the vans. Yeah,
it's a great
absolutely.
Game. People really love it. It's a great board game.
Sweeping the nation.
It's a fantastic board game.
It really is. All right, so we will try it again in the 5 o'clock hour, and in the 5 o'clock hour, it'll be worth $500. Sometime randomly during the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to ask another trivia question and give out $500.
Keep listening.
Don't go anywhere. There's no doubt. ASU can win the Pac-12 South title, but is that more a reflection of Herm or the Pac-12 South? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Go back to the Auction Community Studios. Sarah Cazell is standing by with today's Twitter poll question of the day.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
And it's about how Draymond Green or Kevin Durant, whichever one, got to be Yoko Ono and broke up the Golden State Warriors. Who's Yoko? Is it Green or is it Kevin Durant?
It's got to be Green.
It doesn't have to be. A lot of people might think it's Kevin Durant for bringing his latch on to the championship ways with him when he went there. But what's the poll question today, sir?
Fair enough. All right. Well, as you just mentioned, the cracks are seemingly starting to show with Golden State this year. What does the Draymond Green Kevin Durant scuffle mean for the team? 58% say, it doesn't matter. They're still going to win it all. 36% say Kevin Durant is out after this season. And 6% say bad chemistry means more losses.
If I got to pick one, I'm going to go with Kevin Durant is out this year. He's gone. He's done.
He's done.
I do think there's a chance, as crazy as it sounds, there's a chance that this sort of lack of chemistry, these problems might bubble up and keep them from winning a championship. We're going to talk more about this in a few minutes, but I think there's a chance that it could.
If this is the only incident, then I think they're fine. But if this escalates and there's more, then you might be right.
We will see. We will see. Manny Wilkins, his message to the team this week as they prepare to play Oregon.
I told them to really take a look and truly see that at the beginning of the season, when all of our goals were in front of us, you know, we have a chance to do something special. When that was taken away from us, so when the picture was taken away from us from going to a Pac-12 championship and all these things, our attitude, you know, guys are like, dang, well, now we're playing to go to a bowl. When that picture was now presented to us again and now we have an opportunity and it's in our hands, we control it, what are you going to do with that? When something was taken away from us so special and they're like, here it is. We're giving it back to you. Now do what you may with it. What are you going to do with it? So it's on us.
In other words, now that you have a second lease on life, how are you gonna treat it? You know, what are you gonna do? What are you prepared to do?
What are you prepared to do?
He went full Sean Connery from Untouchable.
He did. What are you guys prepared to do?
So what are you prepared to do about it? Go ahead.
I don't think that this team has, you know, I don't think they're gonna lay an egg here. This is a tough matchup going on the road and playing in Oregon. Weather conditions, the cold, whether it's rain or wind, and going up against a guy who might be the number one quarterback taken in the draft. I mean, we'll talk about it another day. I was looking at a mock draft that had him number one overall pick, Justin Herbert, the quarterback from Oregon. So they'll have their work cut out for them in this game, for sure. But you're going to get their best effort. If they lose, it's not going to lose because they weren't prepared. They're not going to lose because they weren't playing hard. Just going to lose because the other team was better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way Herm's team has been. I mean, they show up to play. They'll be ready to play in this game, no matter what the conditions are. They'll be ready to play.
I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be close. I know that. Whatever happens, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a close game because that's all ASU has played so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to the defensive coordinator, Danny Gonzalez, and he said, he told me about Justin Herbert. He goes, look, just great player, great pocket awareness, reads coverages really well. They got to get to him early and often to try to rattle him. But this is the best quarterback that they have have played to date. He is the best quarterback that they've played. And, you know, one of the keys is going to be turnover. Like, if you look at the U of A game, U of A, you know, forced three turnovers against Oregon. That's how they beat him. If you look at how Washington State beat him, Washington State jumped up on him 27-0, made him one-dimensional. They didn't run the ball at all against Washington State. And that's how Washington State beat him, because they got up by so much, they were able to make him one-dimensional. There are ways to beat Oregon. Getting out to a good early lead is one of them, for sure, and then forcing turnovers. So it's going to be a tough chore for ASU to go up against this kid.
Saw a tweet this morning. I sent you a screenshot of it, and I loved it because it's the truth. I think it sort of reflects where we are with ASU football right now and kind of what needs to be said. It comes from a guy we cite a lot. John Wilner covers the Pac-12 for the San Jose Mercury News, and he tweeted out this. Two things that are equally true about ASU. Number one, Herm Edwards and his staff have done first-rate work. Number two, favorable circumstances. ASU has the exact same conference record as it did on this date a year ago. This year, they control their destiny. Last year, they were 2.5 games out. That's the truth.
It is if you just look at it like that. But if you remember the first game they played New Mexico State, New Mexico State ran 88 plays against them and had like 570 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at some of the games, Stanford, I mean, had 300 rushing yards against Stanford. They were winning some games, but there was some ugliness to some of the games. Texas Tech, they barely beat Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So, you know, the one big win that they had was against Washington. Washington was number 5 in the country. It was their first win against a top 5 team since they beat Nebraska in 96. So that was the big. And this year, maybe the Michigan State is similar to that. You know, beating Michigan State is maybe similar to the way they beat Washington, because Washington was so highly ranked last year. And that loss eventually killed Washington and killed their season and their hopes of trying to get into a playoff game. But I do think when you look at that team last year, although Todd Graham had a good season, there were a lot of problems. I don't see a lot of problems on this year's team. I don't. Last year, there was a lot of games where they were giving up big yards and big rushing yards and big passing yards and big plays of over 30 yards. And then they were struggling to beat teams that they should have put away, like New Mexico State and Texas Tech. So I think that while the record is similar, how they got there, very different.
Well, I don't think he's trying to say that last year's team is better or worse than this year's team. All he's trying to say is that circumstances dictate your situation. And the circumstances of this year's Pac-12 South dictates where ASU is right now. If there was a dominant team in this Pac-12 South, be it Colorado or Utah or USC or somebody else, ASU wouldn't be playing for Pac-12 South supremacy this weekend. I mean they are, in some ways, I don't want to use the word luck, but in some ways it is. There is a little bit of luck involved that the Pac-12 South is this bad. It matters in the final equation. It absolutely matters that the quality of competition in this whole conference is down this year.
Last year you had USC, and USC had Sam Darnold, the Jets quarterback. And USC won all three of their non-conference games. And then, you know, the only loss that they had in conference was they lost to Washington State. They lost to Washington State, but they beat Oregon State. They beat Utah. They beat ASU. They beat U of A. They beat Cal. So they were winning. They beat Stanford. They were winning so many of those conference games. So you did have that one. So that's what he said. You know, you had that one team in the Pac-12 that was winning all those games.
And you don't have that this year.
And you don't have that this year.
You don't have that this year.
Everybody's, you know.
And ASU is clearly benefiting from that.
Of course they are.
Clearly.
Yeah. I mean, if you they would be in the same side. If you had a team like USC was last year, I mean, USC was good last year. I mean, they did lose to Notre Dame, and they got slaughtered by Notre Dame, but then the only other loss was the Washington State game. But they were good. They had a good season with Sam Darnold, the quarterback.
I do think this year's ASU team is better than last year's. Maybe not by a lot. I think if you could magically make this year's team play last year's team, I think this year's team would win. I do. I think this year's team is better. They're better coached. They're much better defensively. Much, much. Last year's defense could not have handled Eno Benjamin. Eno Benjamin this year would have ran for 250 yards against Todd Graham's defense a year ago. He would have ran all over him. So I think this team's, this year, their team is better. But I do think that man, they are getting lucky that this Pac-12 South is as bad as it is. Very fortunate.
I think that you're right. And I think the key is that Danny Gonzalez is such a good defensive coordinator that he would have found a way to kind of limit the damage that Bellage and DeMario Richard could do running the football. And that's why I think this year's team is better.
Sure. They're fighting with each other right now. Is the drama that's surrounding the Golden State Warriors right now going to cost them a title? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Marcus Thompson covers the Golden State Warriors for The Athletic. And there have been a lot of stories written about what happened over the last 24, 48 hours with that team. I thought his was the best because he really took you inside a lot of what was going on. Gambo, I'm reading through his story right now. He says that Draymond Green was surprised by the heavy-handedness when it came to the suspension that he got from the team, that he wasn't expecting it, and he certainly wasn't expecting it to be so public the way that it was.
Sure.
That he writes, the general consensus is that Green's concerns about how Durant has handled free agency were not off base. He goes on to write, did they just lose Draymond Green, if not physically, yet spiritually, for the rest of the season, for suspending him for basically being Draymond Green?
Well, not if all the guys come to his side. And now the reports are coming out that several Warriors are not on board to recruit Durant in free agency. They just want him to go, let him go somewhere else. And I'm sure they'd like to let him go and then beat his ass, you know, if he's on the Lakers or wherever else he is. But, you know, that you are getting the feeling that those players will side with Draymond Green, not Kevin Durant. And so that's why I think Draymond will end up being okay. Probably took it a little too far, deserved the punishment. I mean, I think he did deserve the punishment. But this is going to further alienate, you know, Durant from those guys.
Sure.
I mean, he is going to be further alienated because they've proven that they could win without him. They're going to want to prove that they can win without him again.
He writes, divides have been created that now must be repaired. The relationship between Green and Durant is rubble and needs to be rebuilt. The relationship between Green and management, similarly, is in shambles right now because he can't believe that they publicly scolded him the way they did. Now, the Golden State Warriors are by far and away the most talented team in the NBA. They're probably going to overcome this. Is there at least a chance that they can't? I say yes. I think there is at least a chance that they can't get over this. That they, especially knowing that Kevin Durant is bye-bye baby at the end of the season.
Well, you know, and then there's the story that the lip reading and the quote makes it all seem that he's a goner, right? Makes it seem like he's going to leave. Like, that's why I'm out of here. So, Durant went to Golden State, got his ring, and now, you know, may get another one, and then he's probably going to bolt and go somewhere else and chase rings. You know, that's who he could end up being, a ring chaser. You know, he might be just the type of guy that just wears on you a little bit, Durant. He might be, you know, him and Westbrook did not have a good relationship. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to Golden State, doesn't have a good relationship with those guys. I mean, he just might be that guy. Like, you can only take so much of him.
Plus, wasn't he the guy, too, who was tweeting at people using, like, a fake account? So he's really sensitive. He's got a huge ego, obviously.
I thought that was Brian Colangelo.
Well, there were a few guys who were doing that, but I think, pretty sure Kevin Durant did that a couple of years ago, too. Maybe not to the extent that Brian Colangelo did. The more we learn about Kevin Durant, the more we come to find out how much of a high-maintenance teammate that he might be.
Right, and you might just be able to only take him for a little bit of time. And that's the team that's Steph's team, and Steph's going to side with Draymond because Draymond's gone to war with him a lot more than Durant has. Durant makes them better, but I'm sure they feel like they can win a championship without him. Now, what the Golden State Warriors will not do is they're not going to trade Kevin Durant anywhere.
Oh, no.
Not going to trade him unless they're trading him to a team that has no chance of winning.
They'd be crazy to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to trade him because they don't want to go help another team.
No.
I mean, I don't want to help the Lakers.
If he's gone.
Lakers right now say, listen, we'll give you a first-round pick for Kevin Durant. Yeah, no. Rather lose him for nothing
than
give him to you and hurt our chances of having being able to win this year. We'll try to win with him this year, and then we'll let him go.
Yeah, if he's going to leave, win a national champion, win a championship before he goes. I mean, it'd be illogical to trade him at this point. There was even fear, again, reading this article in The Athletic, Draymond Green is a free agent, that you might have pissed him enough off that he's going to want to leave at the end of the season. It's, screw this, I'm out of here.
I mean, sometimes it comes down to me or him, you know, and you might have that power if you're Draymond Green now. So if he's coming back, I'm not coming back. You know, you might be able to say that. If he's coming back, I remember we had that here with Goran Dragic.
Sure.
If you get rid of Isaiah Thomas, I'll stay. And then he told Jeff Hornacek, okay, because they may, okay, we'll get rid of Isaiah. And then he still said he wanted to leave, which kind of threw the Suns for a loop because they were like, okay, we'll get rid of Isaiah. And, you know, that's what Goran wanted. Goran wanted them to get rid of Isaiah Thomas, and then he would have stayed.
Yeah.
And even been the two guard to Bledsoe. He decided to change his mind and decided he wanted to leave.
Adrian Wojnarowski, Durant's free agency just hangs over everything with that organization.
They're coming to a point where their bench is going to get thinned out by payroll, and they'll be built around just a few great players if Durant stays. But it hovers over everything that goes on in Golden State, and to say that Durant's free agency did not play any factor in the last 24 hours, it plays a factor in everything there.
I just, you know, if Green's saying it, and this is something I know you've been talking about today, if Green is verbalizing it and saying it out loud,
are they thinking it?
How many guys in the room are thinking it?
Probably a lot.
Probably most.
Yeah.
Right? Especially most of the core guys, the original guys who might be, let's be honest, a little jealous that Kevin Durant is getting the attention that he's getting, that Kevin Durant is calling for the ball. When Draymond Green, who leads the team in assists, is like, dude, I knew you were there.
I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
You know, I won a championship without you. I didn't need you to win a title. I got this. Thanks, KD. Appreciate it. Appreciate the help. That kind of resentment, especially if Draymond Green resents the fact that he was publicly suspended for this and had to pay money out of his pocket for it, I don't think that's going to go away. I really don't. Now, is it strong enough to cost them a championship? Probably not, but it could be.
But what if they would have sided with Draymond and did nothing? Then does it continue? Does the antagonizing of Draymond continue? Like, there's stories out there, like, this could be the end of the Warriors dynasty after they win this one more title. Like, this could be the end. At some point, we knew, listen, the Suns are building, obviously, for a time when the Warriors aren't going to be great anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're not trying to compete with them right now because they're not going to. Warriors are just too good.
But this doesn't affect that, I don't think, because the Suns are still too far away to take advantage of the collapse of the Warriors dynasty. The Warriors dynasty is going to collapse, whether it's because of KD, Draymond Green, or not. It's not going to happen fast enough for the Suns to be able to take advantage of that.
Was it realistic to think that all of those egos on one team would just be able to coexist together fine with no problems?
They did for a couple years.
Right.
You know, I mean, they did, but I guess you could subscribe to the idea that what happened was bound to happen eventually. It was inevitable.
That eventually. Now, we thought that eventually the money would be the factor, not the egos. We thought eventually they're not going to be able to pay everybody. Like, eventually there's no way they're going to be able to pay all these guys. Clay's going to leave or somebody's going to leave. You know, that's what we thought. That was what was going to happen. But now they're going to have to deal with, you know, look, the reality is KD is very likely going to be gone, that those guys are not going to want him back. Try to win one more champion. And that's what you get together and say, listen, whatever happens at the end of the year happens. Let's win one more championship together. Let's get one more ring. And then they are. I mean, they should be able to handle that this year.
Garth Brooks, the number one selling solo artist in U.S. history, makes his return to Arizona at State Farm Stadium on March 23rd. Tickets are going to go on sale for the Garth Brooks Stadium Tour this Friday. You can win a pair right now by visiting the rewards page at arizonasports.com. Coming up on this Wednesday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show, Josh Rosen took a beating Sunday in Kansas City. But if he's bothered by it, he's got a funny way of showing it. That's coming up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.